I suck at jujitsu. How do I suck less?
I guess
this
sucks less.
Ladies and gentlemen, the
Bellator
Heavyweight Champion, the leader of
everybody, this is Josh McKinney, and I just want to welcome you to the newest episode of the I Suck at Jiu-Jitsu Show. So today we are going to continue the series of me interviewing my black belts. It's kind of become a thing at my school that when somebody gets promoted to black belt, we do an interview for the podcast, but we really try to focus on the what got you into jiu-jitsu and just reminisce a bit about the progression and stuff. And so what's really cool for me now is my dad and I, we've had our school for, I think, a little over 8 years at this point. And what's really interesting is we weren't even black belts when we started our school. We were both purple belts, and we had some guys that were around our level that came in with us and were training under us, and really have built the team from there. And at this point, we have 7 black belts that are under us, and there's 9 black belts, including ourselves, that all train under the Head Nod banner. And it's really awesome to be a part of that, because when I started jiu-jitsu, my coach was a purple belt. I would say there was probably only 1, maybe 2 black belts within 100 miles of where I lived. And to see that, and to see where jiu-jitsu has come now, that there are 9 absolutely legit black belts in my gym. That's just amazing to me. And this interview is going to be a really cool and a really special one, because of all those black belts, obviously they hadn't been under me for a long enough time for most of them to go from white to black under me. But this person, Robert Arias, who I'm going to be interviewing today, this is my first white to black belt. He had trained jiu-jitsu in other places. He had done a lot of no-gi. He wasn't coming in completely fresh with no jiu-jitsu experience, but he is the first person that I will have given every belt to. And so that was a really cool experience to get there, to be able to do that. But in this interview, we really kind of go back in time, and we look at what the gym was like when it started and what the feel of it was and what the team was. And then we just kind of go through Robert's story. And what's fun for me in this time is that, you know, Robert's story and my story, they interconnect so much, because he was always with me. And, we were always going to these tournaments together, always going to these seminars together, and just living the jiu-jitsu experience. We get into a lot. We talk about the worst beatings we've ever taken in competition. Robert, I think, names off the worst beating he ever saw me take in competition. And we talk about racism somewhere random in Tennessee or Kentucky or wherever the heck we were. There's so many fun things that we get into in this episode, but I really think you guys are going to enjoy this one. This is just a very fun and just enjoyable episode of the I Suck at Jiu-Jitsu Show. And so with that being said, let's go ahead and jump into today's episode. All right, are we ready to go, Bryce? All right. Robert Arias, how are you doing today, man?
Pretty good, pretty good.
I am excited to see where this conversation is going to go. I chose a starting point for us. And I know I've talked to you about this before, but off the top of my head, I couldn't think of it. When did you start jiu-jitsu, and where did you start jiu-jitsu?
I would say, I'm not thinking of the year. I was 15, and that was at Absolute. It was a gym in St. Louis, and that was the first time I actually started grappling. I did a little bit of boxing for a couple of years before that. So probably like 13, I got into combat sports. And then not too long after that, I was training with the Vagis. And so I actually did my first jiu-jitsu tournament. It was in like 08.
What was that tournament?
Chicago Naga.
All right.
That was our locals back then. You know, you got to drive 3 hours for a local.
Man, 2008 Chicago Naga. I want to say I did that. I want to say I was there.
Yeah, well, you probably would have been in my division if you was probably like a couple years older.
How old would you have been when you did that tournament?
08? Man, okay. I think I would have been, no, maybe 08. I think I might have been like 17, 18.
Okay,
maybe.
Yeah, I probably would have been one 18. Age division underneath you. Turning how did 18. You? How did you do in the division, in the
you
tournament?
Got waxed, dude.
I didn't. Bryce, yeah. Bryce, ask me how I did. Yeah. I got gold. Yeah. I brought home a gold. I did lose a match. I did get silver in no gi.
In that case, the gym I was training, I'd only been with them like a month. And then I went out there literally with my brother and my grandpa. I didn't have a driver's license, so I know I was young enough. So it's like my grandpa took me out there.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that was, it might have been, yeah. I was probably I wouldn't know. Maybe I had my license. No, I didn't have my license. I don't think I did. So I probably would have had to have been like 16, 17, actually.
How long did you train for at that point? And then was there a point where you fell off?
Oh, I think I'd only been training probably like 4 months. And you got to think it was more of an MMA gym. So, mm-hmm. It wasn't jiu-jitsu. Like, we didn't have a really scheduled jiu-jitsu class. It was like, all right, 2 days a week max, you're doing like no-gi variation of MMA jiu-jitsu. So then you go in there, it's like, oh, you got this guy who got like, high school wrestling and... he's training at a gym where they do jiu-jitsu, 5 days a week and more classes and stuff.
He's the head coach now.
Yeah, he's the head coach, dude. I think even, I want to say even that time, wasn't New Breed, wasn't there, they called it something different at one point?
Bonsai.
Bonsai, yeah, uh-huh. So it was back then, yeah. Bonsai, because I was like, man, what's new? I was like, Bonsai New Breed or something like that. I don't know, but... Yeah, I think one of the guys I lost to was probably had to hit that gym.
Oh, man. Back then. It's weird when you look back on that.
I want to say guys had wrestling shoes on in the tournament. Like, dude, they did. It was crazy.
That was when, as a child, you would win your division. And I don't know if they still
get
do
a
this.
Sword.
You would get a real sword. I remember walking through the hotel that night with a katana.
Got a fully blown bladed weapon, dude.
Mm-hmm. And they were like, we request that you don't pull the swords out while still at the event. We're like, oh, dude, we're sword fighting at this event.
You're giving a bunch of the 9 to 13-year-olds a bunch of swords, and you got like 300 of them, and you're like, yeah, guys, just don't pull it out, dude. It's about to look like a samurai fest out here. It's like that was a real ballsy move on those guys, because I wouldn't have done it if I was running a tournament. I got kids to know that. It's like, nah, you do that, they're going to be cutting up the couch or something. But
I wouldn't give any of the Arius kids a sword either. I wouldn't have done that either, bro. So for you, when did you start? I know that you... when you came to Head Nod, you weren't grappling at that time, right?
I was grappling probably, I just got back into it. I'd probably been doing it for like a little over a year. And I took a little bit of time. I wanted to do the whole Oscar De La Hoya route. I was just boxing and stuff. And then Colin Parr actually got back into town from college, and I worked with his dad. And we linked up because he was doing summer work, just fresh out of back from college. And so he got hired on for the summer. And so we started training. He ended up starting to, at that point, we both were trained at the Hit Squad. So he was doing like the MMA classes and stuff at the Hit Squad. I was just doing the boxing. And then so like we trained in my garage too. And then he'd be like, yeah, let's do this. Let's try to grapple. And so he kind of like warmed me up back into grappling. And then he started training at Kyle's after that. And so he moved up this way, so we didn't start training as much. And then I started training some grappling again, and then finally I was like, I did good at a tournament, and then I did one of my first unofficial blue belt tournaments, and like I trained pretty decent, but I was like, I felt like I could have trained harder. I just wasn't in the right gym, and I was like, I felt like I needed more classes, because then again, you're training only 3 days a week max. And I'm like, it just wasn't, I felt like I could have been doing more. Like I was conditioned good, but I'm also doing like, MMA classes and stuff. So we're doing that, doing the jiu-jitsu stuff. I'm like, all right, so I'm getting training in, but I'm not getting jiu-jitsu focused training. And then I'm sitting at work. It's probably 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, dude, I wish I could go somewhere where I could just train at 6 a.m, dude. Let's train, drill, whatever. Like, just let me drill something hard. And I'm on the saw. And I'm like, you know, let me look at my phone, whatever. I'm on phone. I seen Adam Marburger post. He was like, yeah, I'm over here, you know, and he does the head nod thing. And I'm looking, I'm like, I see a bunch of Watson patches, but I know this isn't Watson's.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, where is this at? It's a little blue room. I'm like, man, but these guys are getting it at 6 a.m. It's like 6:30 in the morning. I was like, they're getting it. I was like, where is this at? And I seen a little link or something to it. It was like Pontoon Beach. I was like, my grandma lives in Pontoon Beach and the address is like right up the road. I was like, I did not know there was jiu-jitsu in Pontoon Beach. I literally looked and I was like, oh man, some Asian dude, Josh McKinney and his dad. I was like, oh, they're actually brown belts under Watson. I'm like, dude, this is nuts. And they're doing gi on this side of the river. I'm like, dude, I shut this off. I went in the bathroom. I think I shot you a message right then and there. I was like, hey, when can I come in? You were like, Wednesday or Saturday, you know, those are our next gi classes or whatever, you know, come in. And, dude, I think I was there like 2 days later and I never left. That's never awesome. Left. I was like, dude, I this is it. And I was like, dude, they're training. We, man, it was, I was like, it's a wrap. I'm there.
Do you, first of all, you were on the saw and you were texting, you were on your phone. You
oh, were man, playing on Facebook? Cut the saw. It's an industrial saw. You pull it back, so it's already further away from the table. So all I got to do is just pull it, just running, but it's not, you know, doing it. And I'm like,
that doesn't seem safe.
Yeah, well.
That doesn't seem like a good idea. But second.
6 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. Only 2 cups of coffee at that point.
Oh, okay, no. Okay. And so you had to keep, you were still waking up while you were
still
on the saw.
Still waking up running the saw, you know. Sounds good.
I remember you coming in for your first class. I was a brown belt then when you came mm-hmm. in, and so that must have been, you know, that must have been.
You hadn't been open very long. I don't think you might have been going for like 8 months or something like that. You weren't really open.
Sometime
too long,
in 2016, then right was yep. when you came in. Do you remember what your first class was like? Do you remember any impression?
Dude, I remember meeting you and your dad, and you guys were so nice. Like it was just a genuinely real nice gym. And I'm like, dude, the first thing I noticed after even being there a couple of weeks, I'm like, the instruction is great. I was like, the technique you're putting out, really good. I'm like, and it's not a meathead gym. I'm like, you're not getting the douchey MMA vibes that you used to get at a lot of the old school MMA gyms. You're not getting none of that. I'm like, dude, this is awesome. I was like, and everybody still trains tough. I was like, you could train really hard and take all that other crap out of it. I'm like, dude, this is great. I was like, this is awesome. And then it was like, probably, I don't know, I've been training too much. I mean, I've been doing it a while longer after that. And then like right before, I think my first official blue belt tournament, you guys promoted me to blue belt. So it was pretty cool.
I remember that. Man, I remember, I couldn't like off the top of my head be like, oh yeah, I remember Robert's first class. But I actually remember your second class. It was like, you had come in, you had trained. And then you had, we had an open mat, and it was just me and you. And so we just rolled for like an hour, and the whole time I'm like, man, this guy's tough. This guy's been training for a longer time than he's letting on. And yeah, I remember like doing that a couple months going by, and you had just, you know, I'm like, okay, this guy has trained a lot in a lot of different places. And I even remember the conversation of, you know, that this tournament's coming up. I'm like, man, he's competed as a blue belt in this tournament before, and there's no way that they're going to let him compete as a white belt. And I just remember coming up to you and being like, hey, is this the place for you? Is this where you're going to stay? And you're like, yeah, I'm never going to leave this place. He's like, you guys are my coaches. I'm never going to leave. And I was like, okay, this guy's going to get his blue belt this
week. Yeah, your dad tricked me. He's like, hey, I just wanted to talk to you, man. He's like, you like it here and stuff? I'm like, yeah. He's like, is this a place you'd want to probably? I'm like, yeah, definitely. And he's like, cool. He's like, because I'm thinking when we do the promotions, I'm going to give you a couple stripes. I'm like, all right, cool. I'm going to do this the rest of my life. I don't care if I ever get a belt again a day in my life. I was like, I've been doing this, you know, years prior. I've been doing combat sports before I even entered a gym where they were giving out belts or I had an instructor who could give me belts, mm-hmm. you know? So I was like, yeah, sure. And then, like, you know, Kyle came down and everything, and we did the promotions. And I'm like, oh, man, they're done giving the stripes. Well, I guess I'm not getting stripes. I'm like, you know, whatever. And I think my brother was actually in that night and just came up to come in or whatever. And that's when you guys gave me my blue belt. I was like, oh, this is awesome. You know,
I remember the First off, I remember like you had been training for a couple weeks, and then Eric, for context, Eric is your twin brother, walks in, and I'm like, okay, Robert got a huge throat tattoo over the weekend. That's interesting. And then like Eric doesn't introduce himself or anything. He just like gives a wave and sits down, and I'm like, so Robert's not training? And then you walked into the room too, and I'm like, okay, that makes a lot more sense. But I remember, you know, that was first blue belt at Head Nod. You and Mike both got your blue belts, but that was first blue belt at Head Nod. All the way up till, you know, you've been under me ever since.
Yeah.
You know, been part of the team ever since, competing with us ever since. But all the way up till just a few weeks ago, you got your black belt. How did that feel?
Man, it was cool. I mean, I knew the day would come. Like, you're not always, like, ready for it where it's like, you know, man, getting a black belt. Like, it's more of like I'm not worried about performing at black belt as much, but just, like, giving a good representation. Like, I just want to make you guys, like, you know, proud, like you and your dad. Like, hey, you know, I'm representing your guys' jiu-jitsu, you know, with the black belt underneath you guys. And that's all I really care about more than just actually being able to perform. And I'm not worried about that part. You know, I put the time in the gym. I've trained. I know the techniques there. But just that part of it and, like, me running a school now, just wanting to be able to do about as half as good as instruction as you guys do, man. If I feel like I could at least...
Bro, I can't promote you anymore. Don't suck up.
At least if I could do that, you know, I think I'd be on the right track for sure.
Man, it is a bizarre thing for me that not only first guy to go from white to black belt on the team, but also now that you are in this position where you have students and you're teaching, what has that been like for you?
Man, it's been cool, man. I've really enjoyed it. And honestly, man, like even like the night I got my black belt, that was super cool. But I think even the next night after that, just me being able to promote Mikey to purple, I mean, that was even way better for me, honestly. Me and Mikey's been training forever together too. Like, he was a guy who used to come to my garage, and we trained together since high school. And so just to be able to promote him, that was a real special feeling.
It was also cool. Fun to not promote him on promotion night. Again, for context, Mikey was a blue belt under me and has been for a long time, definitely deserving. And I would have promoted him that night.
We had
talked about, like, hey, well, if you're going to get your black belt and this dude trains with you now anyway, why not let that be your first promotion?
Yeah, and it was one of those. I'm like, yeah, man. I was like, I know he's going to be bummed because everything that Josh was saying before, the criteria, you know, this is what we look at when we promote and everything. And I'm like, man, Mikey's hitting them points. I knew he wasn't going to get it. And he's like, yeah, you think we'll get it? Because him and Eric are talking, yeah, you think we'll get our purple? I'm like, I mean, probably. I mean, you guys are good. You know, I'm just thinking like, oh, man. I know when you're going to get yours, but I can't say nothing.
Me and Mikey rolled after to that night, and you know, I knew that he was probably discouraged. So like, okay, I'm gonna have to beat the brakes off of him to really dig in on this discouragement. You know, really, it's like the proposal where you pretend to break up with the girl first, and then you're like, oh no, just kidding. Let's get married, right?
Yeah.
And so I beat him up real good, and he's like, hey, you know, what can I, you know, really. Mikey's such a nice guy. He's like, what could I be doing to get better? And I'm like, bro, you suck. I don't know. Like, you're trash. I don't know. Knowing that he was going to get promoted that next night.
And I was talking to Josh Stevens about that too. And he was like he's like, you know, yeah, he's talking. He's like, man, that's the best part when they're all bummed out. He's like, and then you end up promoting them anyway.
Mm-hmm. That is
great.
Promotions are such a weird thing in jiu-jitsu because there is no real criteria to it, right?
Yeah, because everybody's different. Like, I feel like there's no, like, clean-cut thing. Like, it's like, all right, I mean, you could have a general guide. I mean, the only, guideline that's really out there is, like, what, the IBJJF, like, you know, time-wise. But then it's like, I don't know, man. I feel like, you know, you got to look at the person, too, because, you know, now they implemented that rule. I think even the IBJJF, if you win two big majors in the same year, you can get promoted, which, I mean, why not? It's like, it gives especially if you're younger or, you know, you're hitting the line where it's like, I'm getting a little older too. Depending on who you are, it's like it gives you a good shot where it's like, all right, let's say I'm a blue belt and I'm just murdering everybody and I win two big majors. I mean, promote them, give them a shot to where they get that, you know, get that next level experience. So then by the time they get to black belt, they're actually not beat up and they could give themselves a real shot too. So you got to find that, you know, that balance in there.
And you've got to get beat up to get to black belt. You know, like you really have to take a lot of beatings, especially in Granite City, Illinois, especially at Head Nod. You have to take an absolute. Do you have any worse beatings that anybody has put on you at our gym?
Dude,
I mean, you can say me. We both know it's me.
Oh, yeah. No, well, I'm even talking about even the first time, like I'd been training, you know, tough MMA rooms stuff, you know, sparring and everything. And so it's like I've been beat up before. But like even just on grappling, I've trained with a lot of good grapplers, and like even just getting beat down and submitted, like obviously, you know, I've been beat down. But I remember one of the first couple times I was going with you when I first came to you guys, and I'm like, this is insane because Josh literally beat me down and did not submit me, just literally passed. Your passing was so good, and I'm like, dude, this is insane. And like always had an okay guard. Like I was a guard player. And I was like, dude, my guard is trash. I was like, right now. And I'm getting whooped just from trying to retent and just getting beat down. And like, I'm like, this guy's barely made a whole lot of connection. And I am so exhausted. I'm like, it doesn't make sense. I was like, this is just a different jujitsu right here. I was like, this is nuts. I was like, man, I was like, and I just remember that all at brown belt, I'm like, dude, this dude's so good. And I was like, and I'd watch you beat everybody just by passing them. Like, it's like, before you even got to submit them, it's like, all right, I'm going to just cook them. I might even let them retent and then just kill it again. And it's like, all right, by the fifth time, it's like, all right, I might establish some type of mount or whatever. And then like, you're going to submit them. But it's like, you would just cook them. I'm like, dude, this dude is brutal right now.
But then what's wild about it is how many times were you in my corner when I got thrashed at tournaments, you know what I mean? Like, and you just, the weird thing about jiu-jitsu, like they always
cheated.
Oh yeah, no. It's all steroids. But the weird thing about jiu-jitsu, it's like that playground bully thing where they're like, oh, there's always somebody bigger and tougher. I never had any trouble finding whoever that was. So on a different note, what was the worst beating you ever saw me, your coach, take in person?
Man, there's a couple memorable like losses like at tournaments or something, but I'm trying to think which one would be the worst one.
Murillo put it on me.
Well, that was just to say, when we was in Cincinnati, I would say like being caught in like Murillo's triangle for like 3.5 minutes. Like, I think that was like, but here's the thing, like, yeah, you got beat down on there, but that was impressive because you were fighting out of Murillo Santana's triangle for over 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And that was like, what, your first or second time at black belt?
I think it was my second time at black belt. I mean, yeah, we can say, oh, well, you did your best. You know, we can say that, like the scene in Space Jam where he's like, you know, I may not be fast, but I'm slow. And so that was kind of what it felt like on that. Like, oh man, well, I'm new, you know. On that same note though, on that same trip, tell me, because we talked about this on the podcast, and the time I think I've only told this story once, and it got so, people were like, no, this has to be a lie.
Tell me
in your recollection, the dinner in Lynchburg, Tennessee story.
Dude, I always think if I forget how the states like butt together, and I'm like, dude, no, that still had to be Ohio. I don't know. We crossed the bridge. It is Tennessee, whatever. We're in some backwood place.
Yeah, and Lynchburg definitely isn't the name of the town. I think it was Lawrenceburg, but
dude, I don't know.
Distastefully.
I'm going to go on book and say, I think it might have said Lynchburg, dude. I want to say there's an L-Y-N in there. Anyway, we're in Lynchburg. You know, I don't know if there's a Lawrenceburg, but it's me, you, Eric and Johnny.
Eric and John, both being white, yeah. Just for context.
You know, you got Eric probably, I don't know, he might have been, you know, big guy with the flannel, you know, coming in. And then Johnny, you know, with his nice polo, man, he's got that like, you know, frat boy look to him. You know, they walk in, you know, and I could already tell, I'm like, man, this place, I'm reading the cars. I'm kind of, you know, looks like a little bit like a little back country-ish. Like, all right, well, I've seen this before,
uh-huh.
You know, And so we're walking in and they're not paying no mind. And we walk in and the lady goes to Johnny. She's like, yeah, it's going to be, you know, a couple minutes wait or whatever. And then next thing, me and Josh walk through the door, you know, and they're like, oh, these guys got a little bit more color to their skin. And we walk in and they're like, yeah, we don't have any room here. And literally, like, Josh was sitting there talking, and, like, Eric turns to Johnny turns around. I think he's clueless. Johnny turns. He's like, well, we only got – I think he's about to say, we only got, like, four people. I don't know. And does one of these. I'm already out the door.
I'm already in the car, man.
Like, bro, I was like, I already seen this. I was like, we're about to get arrested just for trying to claim an open table here. And Josh is like, what is going on? He's like, he's out the door, too. And we're just sitting here like, what just happened? And then, like, I think Eric was even like – yeah, I think I just seen that happen. Yeah. You know, this one.
It was like, I remember, because what's even funnier is you were holding the door for some old white ladies, and that's why we were like last into the in there.
Yeah,
and
we were being good citizens, of color.
Dude, I can still see this broad's face. She says to John, it'll just be a few minutes. And then she literally, as we walk in to stand next to them, she starts going up. actually, it's going to be a while.
It's going to be a while.
And then just gives us that look like, hey, you better leave. And, you know, John grew up in Collinsville. He's like, he didn't know racism still existed. And he's like, what are you talking about? Me and all my white friends are here. Like, aren't we supposed to be seated right now? We end up having to eat at like 9:30 by the time we find a place that will allow our kind in. And, you know, we end up eating cheeseburgers. Like, that's all they have at this restaurant before I have to go get starched by Murilo Santana. You know, what a terrible event.
Yeah, but that was probably one of the worst times I lost. I fought a kid, as this is an adult blue belt, I fought a kid out of GF Fight Team Brazil. And I could tell because he had like the Brazilian IBJJF card. He worked the event. And so I think the dude was like competing every weekend full time, had like a bunch of points back then. It was like, it was an ungodly amount. Cause like you seen all the guys that you knew about that did good. And they're like, yeah, we got like 100 points right there. It was the beginning of the year. This dude had like 400 and something points. I think he was number four, ranked all around, out of all the adult blue belts. And then I think he was number one in his weight class, but this dude's passing again, the passing was just crazy. And I don't know if I was like hooking with the wrong leg. I was just for the first 3 minutes, like I was just like completely out of where I was at. And, dude, I got starched like 30 to nothing. Like, just passed. Retent, come back, pass. There was, like, only one good part that I think I finally came up on him at some point, and I was on top, and, like, I went to pass or whatever. He came up, got an underhook, swept, and then boom, 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 and just racking it up. Like, that was probably the worst time I ever got whooped that I could think of in a tournament because I've never had 30 points scored on me.
Well, and not only that, I honestly, like, I remember that match vividly because I also, he kept going cross pant leg grip on you.
It was weird. Yeah, I never seen, like,
at that time, you know, not even that was that long ago, 5 years ago, but at that time, We didn't, as a team, have an answer for that cross pant leg pass. And I remember even seeing Keenan afterwards talking about that specific pass and being like, yeah, this is going to ruin Gi Jiu-Jitsu. It's unstoppable. Now it's very stoppable.
Like, even then, it's like it just shut down my leg. I'm like, this isn't, and it just felt weird. I'm like, and I'm like, I'm hooking. I'm trying to hook. I'm like, what's going on here? I was just kind of vague. And it was like, I think that was actually one of the that was the first tournament, I want to say either then, I think that was the first tournament I did after my mom passed.
Yeah, got you back in.
It got me back in, and it was just like, because I remember we were leaving, because that day they had that local tournament here, that grappling, the day before, had the grappling industries here.
And
that's what it was.
Yep, and we watched. Were you there? Did you go to
no,
that?
No, but I know Mikey did that like 45 minutes.
Me and John Tice went. It was like the only submission only, so there's no time limit. And yeah, Mikey, he, dude, he had a 45-minute match, and then I think another 35-minute match later on that day. And, you know, he was, you know, went home and did his pull-ups afterwards, just totally fine. I just remember that Cincinnati tournament, though. We showed up to the IBJJF. It's a like a three-mat event. We're like, this is bizarre. It's so small.
At that point, that was the first smallest IBJJF Open I've ever been to. And I think it's because also it was the week before Pans.
Yeah.
That's what it was. It was the week before Pans.
I remember all of us taking those L's, me, you, and John. And then, Eric, as usual,
Eric,
we had to have our dad, Eric Huebner, like, hey, we have one last hope. And he just, man, I remember.
Come revive the team real quick, man. Swoop in there and do you.
I remember he had a really legit judo guy in his division. Nope. And he.
No, the guy came up to him and even asked Eric, hey, you doing Pans next week? Eric's like, no, man, I think he was just building a house. He had, you know, a lot of stuff going on. He's like, I shouldn't even have done this tournament. You know, he's kind of like, and the guy was like, well, that's good because everybody in our division I didn't beat, and you're the only guy I didn't beat that's coming to Pans.
Mm-hmm. So technically, like, he won Pans.
Yeah, I mean,
you know?
And I think that guy ended up winning Pans.
Yeah,
that guy
he did.
Eric beat. And it was just like, he just came in and did him, man. Just won it all for us. He's like, let's revive the team, man. It was good.
When you're competing, nothing is worse than everybody going home defeated. But, like, when you have that one guy and the whole team's hopes and dreams are on that guy, and then, like, he wins, you're like, oh, my gosh, maybe we don't suck. You know, maybe we're on to something.
Dude, I'm glad we got a team that it's like no matter where we go, I feel like we still got always at least one person that'll do that. Like no matter if somebody, you know, is off, at least we got a crew. Like no matter where we're at, it's like we got one guy where it's like, all right, he did very well today. And then it's like it might not be him. And the next time somebody else, you know. And so it's cool to go through that. Like I felt like that last time, like I went through – man, it was probably like a 2.5-year rut, probably right after blue belt. It was like the right at the end of my blue belt and right to the midway purple belt, where it's just like I just went through a rut. And it's like I think it was like right after my mom passed, and it was just like, man, nothing was really going good. The training was okay, but it was just like nothing was very focused. I was just kind of like, you know, I was like, I'm doing good enough. And I'm like, I just need that wake-up call. I'm like, Robert, you need to drop a weight class, first of all. You need to actually get in the gym. You know, I was always like, you know, jiu-jitsu is great. I don't need to be an athlete. Well, you kind of need to do other things too. You know, you get your diet a little bit, you know, whatever. You know, do some tweaking, you know, drop some weight. Because, you know, at that time, I think I was doing heavyweight. I'm like, nah, I'm not a heavyweight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had to get real with myself. And the cool thing is like that following Chicago Open at Purple Belt, it was just like I just dropped like nothing and went. I took alcohol completely out my diet. I was like, you know, I stopped drinking, and I was like, man, I feel 1,000%. And that's where also the confidence comes in, even as a competitor. It's like when you know that you're like, there's absolutely nothing else I could have done to make this training. I've trained absolutely the best I could have. Like that confidence just is like 1,000. I feel like that's more than just anything else, just knowing that. And I came in, and I remember like even a lot of the guys, like it was one of those where a lot of the guys, nobody had really done as well. You know, it was like, man, we're like, all right, man, I think we had a couple like guys, maybe got third. I don't even remember, but it was like, I know I was up and I was like, man, it's like this, it's your time, dude. I was like, just go out there. And I think I only had like 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes of mat time.
Mm-hmm.
Chino trap, dude, and just finished everybody. You know, it was really cool. And I was like, and that was the first time I had actually won since my mom had passed. So I remember that tournament very well. So that was pretty cool.
Man, I remember. And it's not like you weren't competing. You were competing quite a bit. You know, you were just, and it was that tough time too, that this was this time in COVID where we were all seeming to fight the same 3 or 4 guys as we were traveling the whole country for the IBJJF.
Yeah, I had a tough guy, dude, man. Like, dude, Alec, he was tough.
Chasing you around, man. Dude. How many times did you compete against him?
I think twice, but he was in my, like, even after American Nationals, and then after the New Orleans Open, that next weekend, me, Dylan, and my brother, we went to No Gi Pans, and he was in my division. I think if he would have won his qualifier and I'd have won my first qualifier, we'd have seen each other again. Because it was actually a small bracket too. Like I said, it was like the first year, like the first 6 months into back from COVID or whatever. And yeah, he was just super tough and he was winning everything. I think he was number one weight class and all around too. I mean, really good competitor or whatever. I kept in touch with him a little bit too, but like even
I hate him. Yeah. I hope he's watching and he knows
Even him though, it was one of those where I kind of needed that match too, because that was the wake up call. It's like, I got to see like, yeah, obviously I am not a true heavyweight. Like, you know, I could drop a class and I think I dropped the class and then I've dropped another one since this. I went to medium heavy and now I'm at middle. So it was like, you know, it was one of those, it was that point in time where it's like the competition wasn't great as far as like me winning, but I'm glad I went through those because it put me where I needed to be as far as a competitor too. Is like, hey, you got to take this a little bit more serious. Like, all right, see where you're really at. And I'm like, yeah, I can be on that level, but I also need to know the steps that I had to take for myself and actually see, hey, you kind of need to be serious. You know, you got to take it serious. And so I needed to take it more serious at the time. And so it put me where I needed to be. And so that I wouldn't change that for nothing either.
Hey guys, Josh McKinney here. Just wanted to interrupt this episode and actually tell you guys about something absolutely free that we have going on with Simplifying Jiu-Jitsu, with tied into all this content that we create. But lately on the Josh McKinney YouTube channel, we have been trying to push out more content. We've been really going back to our roots, back to our focus with this show, which is trying to make jiu-jitsu easier to understand and to truly simplify jiu-jitsu. And so, you know, I have all kinds of different instructional material, all kinds of different simple moves for you to add to your jiu-jitsu game, simple concepts for you to be understanding. Something that got a lot of traction was how to defend every leg lock. We have some really simple ways to deal with being smashed in half guard. Or recently, if you're enjoying this interview that I'm doing with Robert Arias, I just recently did a round breakdown with Robert's brother Eric. He and I did a no-gi round together, and we look at just some conceptual approaches to passing the guard and keeping pressure on guys and hopefully submitting more people, whether you're wearing a gi or not. And this is all for free at the Josh McKinney BJJ YouTube channel. I'll make sure to link it in the description. And we also put the podcast on this YouTube channel. So if you ever want to have a visual aid with listening to the podcast or throw it up on your TV, most TVs have a YouTube app and it makes it very easy to be able to consume this podcast that way. If you're checking out this podcast on YouTube, give us a comment, give us a like, give us a thumbs up. Anything like that would be greatly appreciated. But besides that, I just wanted to make sure you guys know that the I Suck at Jiu-Jitsu show is not the only way to be simplifying your jiu-jitsu right now. You could also check out our YouTube channel. Let's go ahead and get back into this interview. I remember that time. And honestly, I remember as a coach being sad for you. Not, and it was like this. I know that in those, you know, in those tournaments that you're doing, I'm like, hey, I know for sure that Robert is a good purple belt, but it seemed like there was never a chance to show it. It was literally 18 yeah. months of competing so often and going out first round every single time, it seemed like. Even the times you'd have really good matches, still going out first round. And I remember that Chicago Open vividly and being like, okay, Robert in a different weight class. You know, I think he's still going to get to play his guard. You know, I think guys are going to, you know, nobody's going to pull. He's going to get to play his guard. And I remember that first, like, seeing that guy's arm fall into the triangle. And I think I'm yelling triangle, triangle, armbar, and you nailed it on him. And from there, it was just like it went. Competition went from like the scene in Remember the Titans where they're like, you know, he tells them they're, you know, they're blitzing all night, and then all of a sudden the theme music starts playing, yeah, and we were rolling, and that was so much fun to get to,
yeah,
see.
Yeah, it was, it, dude. I was on fire that day. Like I felt like I could have done like 8 matches. It was just one of those where I was on, and it was just like, man, I'm unstoppable today. And then like the next one, I just remember Junior yelling, "Give him his 2 points. Give him his 2 points." And like I already got the guy in the arm wrench because I just swept up. And I think it was, I think when I came up on top, it was kind of like in a triangle. His arm was obviously up, so it was like a mounted triangle, and I ended up just going down on the arm wrench or whatever. And I was like, I got the tap, and I was like, and I see Junior, like I just won, and I think Junior was still like kind of yelling. I'm like, what did he do? What was he yelling about? He's like, they didn't give you the 2. I was like, oh.
I won by submission.
I was like, I still won. I think we're in the good, man. I was like, I'm glad he was fighting for the 2 points, though, because, you know, who knows, you know, in the future, a lot of times, man, you got to be fighting for them, too.
Junior and Nick, two of the best coaches that I think we have on all of tag team.
I love those
Junior
guys.
And Nick from Revive. Now, Junior and Nick will argue with the ref till detriment. Till the ref's just like, you know what? I'll just DQ your guy. How does that sound? Yeah. And Junior and Nick, they will argue to the death. They will go to bat for their guys.
Well, yeah, because I think Junior's used to doing it because I don't think I've ever seen anybody get gringoed more harder than Nick Sanders. Dude.
Oh yeah, that's so true.
I told him, I was like, dude, you're just too much of an all-American hero, dude. Like you're gonna be facing it, and it sucks. Dude. I've seen some, man. I've seen it a few times, even Masters Worlds, Nogi Worlds, man. It's just like, yeah, Nick, man.
We were at St. Louis Open.
I don't think you can get good enough tan, bro.
Yeah. That's, you know? Well, I think also having American Jiu-Jitsu on the back of your gi might hurt you a little bit too. But
and being good.
Yeah. and being there all the time, you know, and you with your Brazilian business partner talking bad about all the Brazilians, you know.
And getting Junior on board, like, yeah, you know, I just got my visa now, you know. He's like, I'm a citizen, you know, and it's like, I'm American now, what? You know, it's like he's just converting the Brazilians over to be American citizens. They're not liking him for that, dude.
Bryce has those two scheduled for a podcast, right, Bryce? We're ready to go for a podcast next week, so I'm sure that this will be following. We'll go to them, and we'll get to the bottom of it. But I remember St. Louis Open. I couldn't even tell you what match we're coaching. But me and Junior are both coaching a match, and he'll always, even with his guys, he'll be like, hey, Josh, you come coach my guy. They understand you. And like, so I'm coaching this match. Guy, it's a close call. I wouldn't even say that it was like ref made a blatant mistake, but I yell it once. I yell it again to the ref, and then I elbow Junior, and I said, Junior, yo, what I just said in Portuguese. And he does it, and literally the ref takes the points off the board for us. It was like, oh man, that was beautiful. People may get mad that is how the game is, but the truth is, you kind of got to learn to play the game. You know, you gotta have your token Brazilian like we have, you know, like.
I just seen a clip. I think Renee Souza just posted it on Instagram. And it was like, he simulated how it was like competing for the IBJJF. And you come up, you know, he did the little, you know, slight bow, walks up to the mat, shakes the ref's hand. He says, what's your name? And he says it. And he says it regular the first time, and it says like something like DQ. And then the next one, he puts like a little accent on the first name, and then it's like they gave him like one advantage. And then he comes up the next time, and he says his full name in Portuguese.
And he and does like the prayer.
He does the prayer, and they're like 4 points, you know, it's so great.
And yeah, man, it's like that. But it's not always that it is a Brazilian thing. Sometimes the ref just sucks, you know, like. For instance, did you see, not that I'm complaining about this, but I'm going to complain about this on the podcast. Did you see Jeff's match?
I saw a very quick glimpse, and like, and I'm almost waiting. I watched it in the same position, and they're like this. I seen Junior post it or something. He's like, do you think this was a DQ? And like the whole time, it looks like he's in the same position. I'm like, he's not getting DQ'd. He's not, you know, he's not doing anything illegal. And so I didn't see the actual part where they DQ'd him. But I'm like, he was in the same position the whole time. I'm like, so where's the DQ at?
Yeah, they DQ'd him for the ankle lock, saying that he rolled towards the ankle he was attacking, which, don't get me wrong, Jeff has done in competition before. But in this specific instance, the guy on top rolled, and he was the one initiating that
motion. Yeah, he was initiating the roll, so it shouldn't be.
And so, yeah, that one was frustrating. I made sure to text it to Junior so he could be mad in Portuguese for us, you know? Yeah, that was frustrating. On a different note, it's just kind of going back. We kind of talked about that period where you weren't winning. And I think that a lot of competitors, not every competitor, some competitors are just really good. We can't all be freaking Bryce Allen, you know, and just be winning all the time.
But, man, Bryce wins, and this dude reps Arius Bros pretty hard. I like it. I like it. He'll rock the gear, man. We're in Vegas. He's like, yeah, dude, he's got the Arius Bros shorts too, dude.
Here's the thing about Bryce.
Bryce is an ace, bro.
Here's the thing about Bryce. Here's a list. Here's a list of people that Bryce Allen cares about. Bryce.
So no one else.
That's it. That's it. So, you know, he'll rep Arius Bros as long as it benefits Bryce. But as soon as, you know, as soon as he can screw you over.
As soon as the gear stops coming in, it's just not going to be.
Exactly. Yeah. Right? As soon as the free koozies are getting slung his way, he's going to just abandon you. It's who he is as a person. But like I said, we can't all be Bryce Allen winning every competition. When you were going through that time of losing, one, was there any point where you thought about quitting competing?
I don't know, because I think... let me think, because I'm going to think really hard. I want to say... I don't know. See, I thought even after American Nationals, I was like, okay, you know... It was more because I don't think I haven't competed in a while at that point. I was like, you know, this sucks. And obviously it was like the first time in a long while I'd been away from my kids, you know, and I was like, you know, maybe this ain't for me, you know, maybe not so much competing, but just like this whole doing the big tournaments, traveling and stuff. I was like, I wasn't for sure. I was like, you know, it was just the first time in a long while. And then actually at Nogi Pans, like during my match, like it was cool. I ended up hitting a sick omoplata sweep, and I ended up hitting the omoplata, and like the guy like kind of shimmied, came out, so we had to do a reset. It went out of bounds. I ended up losing, but like I actually did really well, and I was like, man, you can do this. We just got to, you know, figure out some stuff. I was like, and that was at heavyweight too, so it was just like, yeah, we gotta go back to the drawing board, man. We gotta really sit down. And I think that next week I was like, I hit some meal prepping. I was like, you know, look, do this. And literally, I was like, cut the alcohol out. I think after the alcohol, I think I lost like 12, 13 pounds just from the alcohol itself. I was like, all right, so now we're cool. Now we're within like, you know, 4 to 5 pounds of like contingencies of, you know, hitting this medium heavy mark. You know, now you just got to kind of just clean it up a little bit, you know, from there. And then I started feeling a bit lighter. I was like, all right, I'm feeling good. So then even then, the ability to kind of train came a little bit easier. I was like, you know, all right, the training's going good, you know, I'm not getting as winded. And I feel like probably also just from the alcohol, you know, a little bit, I was like, you know. And it wasn't like I'm just a full-blown alcoholic, but I was like, you know, drink a couple nights a week or whatever, just beer, just, you know, it's stuff that's retaining a lot of weight and stuff that you know. And after I cut that out, I mean, I felt like it was actually pretty easy. I was like, I knew what I had to do. I just had to go do it and actually be real with myself and be like, hey, Robert, look, just get this shit done, you know?
Did you, before that, because it wasn't like, sometimes, like, there is this situation where your coach has the conversation with you, like, Robert, you're fat and you're drinking too much, you need to get it together. But we didn't have that.
No, we didn't have it.
It was you that decided to do this. Do you remember, like, Do you remember having that thought process maybe even before some of those tournaments of like, am I too heavy or something like that?
Yeah, because I was realizing, like, Josh is going to, you're going to be like, no. But I was like, yeah, me and Josh are, we had a couple guys that are medium heavyweight. And I was like, yeah, we're relatively the same size. I was like, why am I competing at heavy? And I'm like, dude, I was like, you just got a little bit of bad weight right now. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like, it's not like it was super horrible. I was like, but it's like, you got some bad weight, dude. And then I'm like, we got to get rid of it. I was like, you kind of treat it more of an athlete. I'm like, all right, you probably just need to actually do a little. So I picked up a little bit of lifting in there, you know, just to kind of, you know, strengthen up the muscles just for injury prevention and stuff like that. And just started picking up the training. But I was like, I knew I had to be like, hey, that was one of the ones where I was like, I need to drop, because I was like, I am actually, for one, I'm a smaller guy at heavy. I was like, and for two, everybody who's at medium heavy right now, I was like, we're the same size. I'm like, yeah, that's probably a good call. Let's try to get down that weight class. And then I think it was last year, I was like, I went from medium heavy. I'm like, dude, now we're picking up some momentum, you know, where I was like, I was just feeling good. I'm able to, you know, get rid of some more weight. And I'm like, you know, let's see what middle looks like. You know, I'm feeling good. I'm in the gym a lot more, you know, pick up the extra classes, you know, and hit the mats a little bit more. And I was able to make middle. I'm like, this is great, you know. And I was like, I feel really good at middle, because in middle, I'm like, man, I can keep a little bit better pace. I'm like, not getting as tired as much. I was like, yeah, this is getting good. So, you know, I think middle's pretty good. I'm not gonna go to light or nothing like that. We can't give up, you know, red meat or nothing like that, guys. You know, make lightweight or just go get a veggie burger. I mean, that's not even worth it at that point. But
I mean, the only thing I would correct is you are substantially smaller than me. You know, I mean, you know, you were saying like, yeah, when I'm, you know, I'm feeling small next to these medium heavyweights. I mean, it might have just been that you were sitting next to me too much. And so that's been a big battle for you in jiu-jitsu to kind of come to, is like, oh, maybe my coach is beating me because he's just so much stronger than me. So much bigger and stronger and more powerful.
I don't feel it all the time. I'm just kind of like, dude, I mean, it's like, I feel like I rolled with Bryce the other day. I was like, dude, he's what
Bryce, a buck 30, bro.
Featherweight and stuff. And I was like, man, I thought I was almost rolling with Josh for a second.
Oh, get out of,
you know,
here.
I was looking at I had a pant grip and I had to just look up at the belt to realize it wasn't you. I was like, oh, it's a purple belt. Yeah, it's not Josh. I thought I had Josh.
The only reason he felt like me is because I'm a phenomenal teacher, Robert. That's the only reason. You know what? I'm going to say it right here, right now. Arius Bros Jiu-Jitsu, you bring out your best guy and he'll fight Bryce to the death. And we'll see now that you're, you know, now that you're a big coach now, we'll see.
I'm trying to be.
Has there been, on that note, has there been any lessons that you've kind of picked up your first couple months of teaching, or any, because I think there are so many guys that want to start to run a program. Is there anything that you like, from how you viewed it was going to be, or how you viewed teaching consistently was going to be, or even how you viewed having actual students, because you've actually had your students compete already. Mm-hmm. Anything like that that's been shocking to you?
I realized, yeah, I got to bring my A game, because before, you know, it's cool going to like even a tournament aspect of it first. Normally when we got the team going, I'm like, you know, I kind of missed the first couple or whatever. If I get there late, so what? And then I realized, no, I'm dedicated here all day now.
Yeah.
Because I literally got to watch every one of my students compete. And it's like, oh, yeah, you got like adult white belt. It's like 8 o'clock in the morning. Let's go. I got to be there at like 8, you know, 7:30, you know, check in, weigh in at 8 o'clock. They're on the mat at 8:30. And then you're like, oh, your last guy's going at like 3 or 4. And you're like, it's an all-day event, dude. I just put in a work shift, you know.
I just send a text to you and say, hey, Robert, can you take care of my guys today? Yeah, can you take care of the team?
Yeah, you know, it's like, and I'm thinking, I'm like, man, my program's so new. It's like I don't have a bunch of, like, upper belts to be like, hey, guys, you know, can you guys get there? There's, you know, we can delegate, you know, just sit there and place it. Like, all right, you know, you cover, you know, the 9 to 10:30 slot. You cover, you know, so then I'm only there 3 hours. You know, that'd be real cool, but... No, just being there all day, you know, also on like running the program. Obviously, I'm still a full-time carpenter right now, and so that's it's very tough doing that. You know, the long days I work out of town. So just trying to sit here and hit it full on, you know, where I got to put all my energy that I would like to put into, just can't do it quite yet. So it's a little bit frustrating, but, yeah, just running it, is a little bit harder than I thought, you know, like I'm always like, yeah, I got to do this, that. And I'm like, yeah, it sounds cool. I got three simple things to do. And then I'm like, wait a minute. It's been a week and barely got one done. I'm like, what is going on here? You know, and it's like, you know, I got to go home, you know, make sure I spend time with the kiddos and stuff. So it's like put the family in there, full-time job. It's like it gets pretty tough. But, you know, I'm making it work because it's something I really, really, really love to do. I just want to pour everything I got into it. And, you know, I just feel like I got a lot to offer with my jiu-jitsu. And I just want to do that for the rest of my life. I'm going to be doing it regardless. Mm-hmm. So it's like I know I'm going to give it my all because – I'm gonna be doing this the rest of my life, you know, as long as I can. You know, if I'm like, I joke with the guys at work, I'm like, yeah, I'm doing all this carpenter work. It's like, I can't open a can of soda at 40. I'm just gonna duct tape my thumb to my hand and I'm still gonna be grappling. You know what I mean? Like, I'm gonna do it till I can't, you know, but it's just something that it's the biggest part of me besides, you know, like my family. If you just asked who defies me, you know, I'd say, you know, obviously my work ethic, you know, my family, but like, jiu-jitsu is a big part. Like, that's a part of my identity. So it's like, I'm not going to give up on that.
Mm-hmm. Man, I remember talking to you before that first tournament with all your guys. Robert, you were more nervous for your guys than I've ever heard you for any tournament where you've competed.
Yeah, and it's like, it's one of those where I was more nervous because I didn't care if they won or anything like that. Honestly, I freaking lose all the time. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's not like I cared about that. I just didn't want them to be like, oh man, I lost, you know, my jiu-jitsu, you know, isn't as good as I thought it was or whatever. Or maybe just like, hey, you know, I let them down because I just wasn't that good of a teacher to teach them good enough to go win. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? And so it was one of those. I was like, I just did not want that to happen. I didn't want them to be like, man, I lost, and then be like, you know, this sucks, I quit. Uh-huh. You know, and I just did not want that. Luckily, that did not happen. So that's pretty cool. But all in all, man, my guys did good. I think we brought like, it was a local, but we brought like 6-7 guys, and only being going for like 5.5 months, I was like, dude, that's huge. You know, and I think we took like 10, 11 medals home.
Dude,
you know?
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was good. I think out of like 45 academies, we took ninth.
That's really
cool. So it was cool. And then like me and Eric, you know, we go there. We're just a different breed. Like, you know, everybody, we got the whole venue there. They got the competition mats, you know, the bleachers and everything. You know, me and Eric come in. ADCC mats on our shoulders. We got our own warm-up section, a whole 10x10, you know, with the ADCC mats out there. And, you know, there's even a few guys that ended up using it, warming up. You know, our guys used it and stuff like that. You know, we didn't care. Every time I'd see
that. Should have charged them, bro.
That's what we said. You know, if you guys would be out there, you know, from the other gyms or whatever, and I'd be like, hey, $1.50, you know, or something on mm-hmm. the mat. But, no, it was cool. Like, we definitely made a big presence. You know, everybody was like, hey, where are you guys from? You know, I think we did really good, you know, overall. Me and Eric were coaching, you know, everybody else was competing, and yeah, we did good. I'm pretty pleased on how it turned out. Everybody, all the students fought their heart out, you know. I couldn't be more happier. It was cool.
That's cool. So last thing I wanted to talk to you about, because this is something that a lot of people deal with. A lot of people have family members that don't train, that they know like how big jiu-jitsu could be for their family member. And like, they want this person, my cousin, my brother, my yeah. uncle, my dad, I want them to do jiu-jitsu so bad. And I remember, you know, like with Eric, your brother, he had come in to our gym. He would sit on the side and watch class every night, and he wouldn't train. He had no desire, like, oh no, I don't do this, I don't do jiu-jitsu. And I remember the day that he walked in. We were running a Black Friday special, and he goes, hey, that Black Friday special, what was it again? And I said, oh, it was this. And he hands
cashed
me the money
out.
For it.
Yeah,
I
go too.
I'm like, what? Yeah, like, you, what are you talking about? He's like, yeah, I'm going to do jiu-jitsu. Do you remember how that made you feel?
Dude, that was cool, man. It was awesome because I'm like, man, now all he needs to do is catch that little bit of a glimpse, because I knew he had that same addictive personality. I was like, he's going to do this. And now this dude gets psycho with it sometimes. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, he's like, man, I got to do this, you know, ADCCs, you know, and it's like now he's getting more psycho. And then like sometimes he gets more hip on some of the jiu-jitsu stuff before I do. Like, or sometimes I'll get phone calls from Eric. I'm on social media or something, and I'll see like a tournament post up. Literally, I'm talking about within seconds. Like, we're talking about 30 seconds. Phone rings, and I'm like, let me guess, blah, 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 this open or the ADCC or something's going on. And he's like, this, yeah, how'd you know I was calling? I was like, I just seen it, Eric. Just seen it. And he's like, so it's like we could read each other's minds at that point. But like now he gets a lot of information. I'm like, oh, I didn't know that was happening. He's like, yeah, look, let me send you the link or something. And so he'll send it to me. And I'm like, man, I didn't even know this was going on. So he gets more hyped on even competition more than I do anymore.
I remember also, we talked about that American Nationals. Nothing was more fun for me,
man,
than he competed in American Nationals. That's just actually where the term dog pound came, where that came from. Was we were all sharing a house,
dude,
and Eric
his
keeps
eyes,
telling me,
his
man.
Eyes looked so serious, and I remember he was like this to Josh. He's like, watch. He's like, just watch. He's like, I'm going to be a dog. And then Josh is like, what do you mean? He's like, you're going to see. Watch this. And he goes out there, and his eyes just went serious. I'm like, all right, man. Like, I know he's going to go out here and blitz. And then, like, you seen this dude just straight hammering full send at the first guy. And all I'm doing is I just remember coaching. And I think my pinky, because, you know, they got the plastic gates. And I'm shaking it, smacking it. Like, I'm doing it like, you know, a big Brazilian team. And it's just me trying to rattle this whole cage by myself. And I'm and like, I remember Richie was coaching. He was like, you got this one. And I'm just like, I just know. He didn't even need instruction. Like, it wasn't even like, hey, Eric, grab that pant grip. No, you just need to say, hey, wreck this guy. I was like, go on ahead, kill him. He ain't got shit. And then, like, his coach and them are right there.
He's got nothing
I think
for
his,
you.
I think the guy's coach and his dad was right there. And I'm sitting here, like, cursing, you know, sitting here saying, this dude ain't shit. You know, and I'm like, I'm smacking the gate. I'm like, Eric, just wreck that dude. I'm like, blitz that knee, you know. Bat the head, cook that chicken, you know, whatever.
He don't want it.
And yeah, Eric went out there and wrecked, man, taking the dudes down. Like, he was like, he told me, he's like, yeah, I'm not pulling guard. He's like, I'm the only guy. He's like, I'm going to be the one guy. He's like, I'm not pulling guard at all. And like his wrestling, like he didn't have a lot of wrestling. Like now he's done a lot of wrestling stuff, you know, between like guys here, Kerrigan, you know, down at the PSF and stuff. Like he's just picked up a lot. But even then it was just raw grit. It was like, wasn't no technical. He's like, I'm not pulling guard. I'm just going to, you know, football tackle, and I'm cooking the head, you know, just being a pure dog. And yeah, he went out there and wrecked, man, and got second. And that was his second tournament, and he took second in American Nationals.
He was
cool, man.
He was a dog there. I remember even his first tournament. You weren't able to come to his first tournament.
No, because I forgot what it was. My daughter's birthday. Uh-huh. That's what it was. So I was there earlier in the day, and I was like, I hope I can catch like his first match. And I just had to go. And I remember telling Dylan and the guys, I'm like, hey guys, you know, Eric's first tournament, take care, you know. And then that's when you'd message me. You were like, yeah, he won his first one, man. It was a war. And I'm like, man, okay. And then the next one you send me, it's him on top of the podium doing the I don't know if he did the I don't even know if that was a thing. He did like the ex-con, whatever.
He threw some type of gang signal up,
yeah,
you know.
He threw up something. And I remember when we were in Kansas City on that note, we did the, it was the IBJJF Kansas City. Later on, that was like sometime after Chicago. So I was like, let me see, that'd probably been from American Nationals, maybe like 8 months after that or whatever. But he did that same thing. You know, we're recording and he's like something about the convict or something, threw up like the dog pound with the ex-con. He did some type of symbol, man, but it was, I remember him doing that. But yeah, You sent me the message and he took first on the podium. I was like, that's dope, man.
I remember, because it's funny, like, even though he was a couple month white belt, you know, he had been at the gym for years. And so everybody was so invested in him
competing.
And
it was in gi.
It was in the gi.
Because your dad was like this, dude, your dad had him so geeked on gi, I think. And he was like, and literally Eric was like, I think at the time, I don't know if he was working at the time, but he had some time on his hand. And I remember he was doing 5 gi classes a week. Like, he was hitting show you rolled up all of our gi classes. I'm like, dude, Eric, I can't even make that. I couldn't even make all the gi classes. I'm like, dude, this is crazy. And he literally hit every gi class. And it was like, man, I was like, yeah, this dude's, he won American Nationals at, you know, he took second at gi, you know. And then it was like, I think Kansas City was the last time he threw on gi, and he was a blue belt at the time. That was his first time at Nogi, mm-hmm. Nogi too, and I think he had a couple wars with a good guy out there, and he ended up, I think, taking 2 silvers or something at Kansas City Open or something like that, and I think that was the last time we seen Eric in the gi, and like I think ever since he got promoted to purple belt, I think that night I promoted Mikey was the last time you'll see that purple belt on him, because he went with. He won't wear gi. I'll be sitting here, hey guys, you guys want to throw the gi on or whatever? And Eric will come to class like he could be the only one in no gi, and he don't care. He's just like, yeah, I'm gonna show up. I'm gonna do no gi, and then he'll get some of the guys, and he's gonna be teaching the white belt, you know, crazy heel hooks and stuff. And I'm just like, Eric, dude, like we're working like a basic pass.
Eric,
right
we're
now.
Trying to run a business right we're, now. We're you trying can't to work teach basic these guys heel hooks.
And I
yet.
Got a couple of my students. You could just tell they're like, they got that what do you call it the social media, you know, the highlight, you know, where you get the flashy Instagram stuff. They got that look in the eyes like, oh, dude, let's Baron Bolo into this. No, we don't need to Baron Bolo into this. You could just grab the leg right here. No, let's Baron Bolo for no reason into this, because just it looks good. It's one of those situations. Uh-huh. And Eric will be like, yeah, I got this heel hook. And then the students light their eyes, and I'm like, yeah, we're not working passing today. Or we did, but... That's gone. You know, they're going to pass, and they're going to dive right into this heel hook from who knows where. But that's what we're doing, I guess, today. But
it's like that, man. I just remember first tournament for him. Huebner texts me, and we had 20 guys compete. And Huebner texts me, and all he asks is, how did Eric Arias do? And I remember responding and being like, his passing was white belt level. His takedowns were white belt level. His submissions were white belt level, but his ability to get armbarred and not tap to it, black belt level.
Black belt
and
level.
He won off of he just won off being, of being a dog before he ever told me what a dog
what
was.
What a dog was. Exactly, dude. I remember that. And it's just like, man, he was like this. He's like, yeah. He's like, I got to tell Eric. He's like, I didn't pull guard. That's all he said. He's like, I got to tell Eric I didn't pull guard. He's like, I won't pull guard. And now he's got a guard, so he'll do it something like, but... That's what you're going to get. He's the first thing he says is like, I'm not just going out there and just pulling guard. He's like, I'm going to make this something on the feet. And I think that's what he's getting into now too. It's really good, because we went to the East Coast Trials, and he did rel. A lot of guys didn't want to engage in the wrestling. And then he's like, you know, let me try to make something happen. You know, he'd do something from seated guard or whatever. And, you know, he's developing a good guard too. And so it's a pleasure just watching him even grow, because his technique is getting phenomenal. Man, and it's cool. It's a cool thing to see.
Yeah, man. That'll be, I think next time you come on the show, I do think we have to have another mic out and maybe have both of the
Arias bros on there, dude. It's cool, because just to see his perspective of how he even got into it and what he's been through, that'd be pretty cool to do.
I would need Bryce to have a mute button for, you know, because these two dudes will be talking over each other the whole time. And so you'll have to choose, Bryce, who gets to actually be getting the sound.
You're gonna have to direct the questions directly. You're gonna be like, Robert, this question, Eric, this question.
Mm-hmm. And then I'll be like, hey, shut up, let your brother talk. Just kind of at this point, we're getting to the end of the conversation. I always like to finish with the same question. And
the answer is Arias Bros Jiu-Jitsu.
Come to Arias Bros Jiu-Jitsu.
In Carlisle.
Sign up for a free class, right?
Yes, that's pretty much it. And if anybody who's watching this at this point, when this releases, at this point, if you're in the car, I don't care where you're at, if you're listening, just go to Facebook and check in. Just go check in at Arias Bros. Dude, don't even make a post. Just hit the check in. post it just to say you were there. Just check in. Because right now, that's like the highlight of my life, figuring that out. You know what I mean?
So, yeah, this dude, I walk into my gym, and there's flyers for Arius Bros Jiu-Jitsu in my gym. Like, so we're advertising for other places now?
Yeah.
This is what we're doing? I wanted to, on promotion night, I wanted to print out one of the flyers and then rip it on promotion, yeah, but I forgot.
I forgot who it was. I brought it in just to post the picture, and I was like, because I think I had, when I'd made that flyer, it was for one of the, it was a like a strongman thing TJ was doing it in Carlisle. It's like the Logging Dead during like Halloween time. And so we made the flyers. It was like our first like, in-town event to actually promote jiu-jitsu to the town of Carlisle. And so I made up those flyers, and it was just off of my, like, I think I recreated something off of my private lesson thing that I was doing. And so I posted them, and it was so funny. I brought one in just to kind of have my picture next to there. And I don't know if it was, like, Court or Sanders. They was like, yeah, you should just get a bunch of them and throw them on the mat right now. Just scatter them across the mat. You know, it's like, dude, if I had enough, I was like, we blew them all at the event. I was like, I'd have just went in there and just threw them on, or just start hiding them in little different spots, putting them by the windows and stuff like that.
I have a funny feeling that one day I'm going to walk into my gym and there's going to be a QR code that says like, hey, did you check in? And when you do it, it checks you into Arius Brothers Jiu-Jitsu. Like, what the heck is going
on
here?
Take anything that has head nod and be like, yeah, this is a little thing right there, and just kind of move it. Or just keep it there and just replace the QR code, and then you really just checked into Arius Bros.
Yep, just always scamming to get another check-in for Arius Bros.
I got you. I got to piggyback off of Josh's success. No.
So just kind of last question for you. And this can kind of, you know, go wherever. Just, I always kind of say, like, what springs to mind first? But for you, what is or was some of the best jiu-jitsu advice that you've ever gotten? Or what just pops into your head when you're asked that?
Man.
And I know you've had a really long, you know, jiu-jitsu journey, but what pops into mind?
I would say try to keep, because jiu-jitsu, you could hit brick walls. You know, like a lot of times you'll hear people say you get the blue belt blues or whatever, where you're just kind of like, man, like, and there was a point in time where I just felt like I hit a mental block where, you know, at blue belt, where I was just like, I don't think I can get any better. Like, not saying I was great or anything, but I'm like, I just can't get better. Like, it's not like I'm getting any worse, but I hit a wall. Mm-hmm. And so my thing is try to be creative, keep it exciting so you don't quit. And I hate the way to say it, but like, even show up. Like, I'm not saying you got to come to class and have like something worked out where it's like, I think you should sometimes have like something that you want to work on or whatever. Like, hey, you know, just to keep it exciting. Like, all right, well, I want to work on guard passing. So just to keep you on track of maybe something that you want to focus on to elevate your technique. But to do that, and to just, even if you feel like, ah, man, I don't know, you know, I don't feel like coming to the gym today, sometimes those days are the days that you actually end up doing pretty good in the gym. And so try to show up as much as possible, because no matter what, like, I'm not the most athletic person. I've never been the most guy who's like, oh man, I'm easy to learn. Like, it took me, like, yeah, you could be like, yeah, Robert's good. Yeah, but I've been doing it forever. Mm-hmm. You know, it just took me a long time. And the only reason why I got good is because I put in a lot of mat time. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, obviously you could pick up on a technique and everything. And like I tell my students, it's like, you know, you're getting the technique good, but to just feel this out, or to just kind of get, like, if I'm like, hey, to get your hips to do what your mind wants them to do, you know, to get them both on the same page, that's going to take a lot of muscle memory. So that's going to take repetitions. How you do that? You got to put more mat time in. So always try to keep something, a goal to focus on, and put your mat time in, because that's what it's going to take. Ultimately, you could be like, yeah, there's some phenoms out there, you know, you got guys who got great in like 3 years, 4 years, and they're just, but that's not the case for everybody, especially guys that are in their 30s. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, especially if you're, you know, not 18 or you're 30 years old and, you know, you just started jiu-jitsu, even if you're looking to get into it, that's some advice to just keep in mind, is that, you know, you got to put the mat time in. Always try to keep a good goal and you don't got to set like a real high, super high expectation, but just little goals, you know, and you put little goals here. Like, I want to get good at this little thing in a month. And then you set another one, and then you do that, you know, you set about 6, 7, 8 of them, you know, within the year, you know, now you just got pretty good at like, you know, 6 to 7 things better. Now your jiu-jitsu got better, and then you apply that on the mat. You put your mat time in, and you get good. So I'd say, you know, small goals. You know, this is a long, long journey, especially if you want to take it serious. You're going to be doing it for a long time. So don't try to rush everything. Mat time, set small goals, and try to keep the excitement, because there can be times where you're going to get blocks or you'll feel like it could get a little bit boring. But that's what's going to keep you in it. And so,
man, that's I can attest that you did that forever. You know, I really remember, you know, so many different people that have kind of come and gone or come and been inconsistent at times. But like, I specifically, I remember when your mom passed away, I remember that you were struggling to get back in the gym. And reaching out and just being like, hey, man, you know, we miss you. Come back. We miss you. Come back. And then there's a point you came back. And besides that, maybe 6 weeks, 8 weeks.
Dude, it was like, I was going to say, it was probably like a hair over 2 months, man. I was like, I had never been gone that long. And I was like, man, this is crazy. But that's also part of like even the head nod gym and between like guys like you and your dad. I feel like if I'd have just been at some meathead gym, they'd have been like, whatever. You know, he's coming and go, he ain't going to train, who cares? You know, but it's like a real actual like brotherhood, family oriented thing. Like everybody truly cares about each other. It's like great team, you know, and you can't find a lot of gyms like that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what separates, you know, our team from a lot of other teams, because you got guys there, you're just a number, or you're just, you know, you're just another paying student. And it's like, man, nah, you know, I want, that's why I try to hold a special relationship with like all my students now, you know, just because I got that from like you and your dad, because that when they truly feel welcome and they feel a part of something, man, you know, that's what makes the environment of your team better too. And so I'm trying to adopt that even with my crew now.
And that's like, on that note, besides those 2 months, you've never been inconsistent. It's just like, you know, and like you said, it's not like you had any special gift other than being consistent, showing up. And even like, what's funny is when you look at your jiu-jitsu and you look at mine, they're not similar. You know, we don't play very similar stuff at all, but you know, we've always been on the mat together. And it seems like that is way more important than any individual technique or any new guard or anything like that, is just that consistency and that staying on the mat.
Yeah. And I, like, even with mine, like I keep technique simple. I'm not sitting here trying to do like some crazy new guard or something that came out. Like mine's been always, everybody knows, man, I've played my closed guard and stuff. I've kept it pretty simple for, you know, the past 6+ years, you know, since I started really working hard at the guard. But like, I'm not doing nothing crazy. I'm just, you know, I'm trying to find, like, you know, they got that Bruce Lee saying or whatever, you know, don't fear the man who knows a thousand kicks or whatever and has only practiced it one time. Fear the man who knows, you know, one kick and has done it 1,000 times. Mm-hmm. You know, that I can test with my guard. It's not like, hey, fear a man who knows, you know, 100 different guards or whatever it is, you know, 20 different guards, you know, fear the man that knows that one guard, but I know 1,000 entries to get into that guard. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I know 1,000 entries into shoot that Chino trap. And it's like, that's what makes it good, because I could literally look at a position or maybe take 3 steps ahead and I could see exactly where I want to be when I hit that. And all that comes is just training something basic, mat time, and playing it. And then when you're during your rounds, don't be afraid to get tapped. Take the ego out of it and go for new things. That'll get you better on the mat too. Ego. That's one thing. The best advice, take ego out of it. That's one of the things, because you can get butt hurt really easy and be like, I don't want to go with this guy anymore. I don't care. I'm going to get tapped by a bunch of people. That doesn't mean nothing to me. You know, honestly, it's like, if I can go out there and perform, you know, at a good tournament and do good because I got tapped by, you know, 3 or 4 blue belts because I was actually trying something on there that I was able to hit in competition,
It's worth it.
It's worth it, you know? And so I'd say even adding to what I was saying before, I'd take the ego out of it, you know, and try to develop, you know, if you got a game or you got a position you like playing out there, you know, and you do really good with it now, even as beginner belts out there, keep playing it, because you could, by the time you get, you know, 6 years down the road, you're going to already find a lot of different entries or something into that position that you like. And you're going to realize that position that you like playing now, you're going to be loving it later on, because it's just going to get that much sweeter for you.
Robert, man, thank you for being on the show. Thank you for being part of the team forever, man. And, I really do love that you are my first guy to go from white to black belt under me. It really makes me happy that is you. I know you're going to represent forever. And so anything you want to say to finish?
Check in. No,
check in at Arius Bros Jiu-Jitsu.
If you guys, obviously you guys could go to Instagram, you know, follow Arius Bros BJJ. I don't know. I don't know if you could put all that stuff in the link or whatever.
It all in the link.
Yeah, I'm on Facebook. You can follow me on TikTok personally, at ElChino1850. If you want to get a hold of me, you can get a hold of me on Facebook, the Arius Bros team page. Just shoot me a message. You know, if you're in the Carlisle area, you want to learn jiu-jitsu, you want to be a part of a cool team, get a hold of me.
All right. Thank you, Robert. And that is the episode. Thank you guys for checking this one out. I just wanted to make sure to reiterate, if you're not on the YouTube channel, if you do not subscribe, if you are a fan of the content, you will absolutely love how simple and how effective what we're putting on the Jiu-Jitsu YouTube channel, how simple it is. It's things that you're going to be able to add to your game almost immediately. And, you know, I know my way of explaining on the podcast is something that people really enjoy. And I think that if you enjoy that, you will really love the way I explain actual jiu-jitsu techniques or actual jiu-jitsu concepts. This is just kind of a new way that we're really approaching 2024, is not just doing the podcast, but really expanding the content that we create. But we can only do this if you guys continue to consume that content, if you continue to watch, and of course give likes and comments and all of those things that you know you should be doing. But besides that, thank you to Robert again for being on the show. This was a really fun interview, and we have a lot of interviews saved up for you guys. And so we have a lot of interviews that we're going to be going to this month. We might do one question and answer episode this month. We might not. We just have so many interviews. We're so far ahead on interviews, and so many of them are just gold. And so I don't want to just leave those sitting in the bank, right? We want to make sure to give you guys that content and help you guys get better at jiu-jitsu that way. But besides that, we will make sure, like I told you guys, we are working on the website to be able to ask questions for these Q&A episodes. So be on the lookout for that. Besides that, thank you guys for checking out today's episode. As always, if you guys got something out of it, please give it a share. And the best share is actually sharing to somebody individually that you thought of in this episode. You know, this episode with Robert, it's an episode where a guy went from white to black belt under the same coach. Maybe you're a coach and there's somebody that made it to purple belt under you, and you go, hey, this would be good, you know, this would be a good guy to reach out to. Or maybe you got kicked out of a restaurant for being Mexican or Asian, and you go, you know what, my other Mexican or Asian buddy would love this episode. And so there are all kinds of different people you could be sharing this with, but if you get something out of the show, it's always greatly appreciated if you share that episode. Besides that, I hope you guys have a great day. I hope you laughed at this episode. I hope you got something out of it. And most importantly, I hope that today's episode helps you guys suck just a little bit less at jiu-jitsu. Have a great day, guys.